know that this is still something we're not really used to. That, you know, we've been here for, I think this is our fourth Sunday. It's been 28 days since we worshiped in the building together. But just remember that the building's not the church. We are the church. So I just want to encourage you again to be the church even when we can't come to church. And I hope that that we can have a sense of being connected even during this time. Call each other, Facebook each other, you know, meet on Zoom. We've got two of our life groups have been meeting on Zoom together. Our youth are doing that. We need to see if we can expand that and have more of our classes and groups connecting. And it is so important for the kingdom and for us and our well-being that we stay connected as the church, for we are all members of one body, and we need each other. The church needs us, and we need each other. You know, it occurred to me as was sitting there, and Brad was singing that song, that wonderful song, A Glorious Day. You know, when we do church together in the sanctuary, you know, and we have a little bobble, and something doesn't go just exactly right, you know, we just go on, and in a short time, everyone forgets. Sometimes they don't even notice. But when we're doing this, it's recorded. And every little, a note that's missed, or a word that's mispronounced, or anything that is a little bit off, and if the technology blinks or something, it's there. And it's there forever. So just please bear with us as we try to lead in worship. This morning I'm going to read some scripture from Luke chapter 23. We already read from Mark chapter 11 and the triumphant entry. I know today is Palm Sunday, but as I started this sermon series about King Jesus, that's where I started 3 weeks ago. And we've been talking about King Jesus, and today we're going to talk about King Jesus, the day he died for me. And so I want to kind of take you back a little bit. You know, Jesus has, on the first day of the week, on Palm Sunday, he's entered, he's been proclaimed king to the great praise of God by his followers, to the great consternation of his enemies, angering them, and that was by design, because everything Jesus does during what we call Holy Week is designed to honor and glorify the Father, but it's also moving the wheels towards the cross. Everything he does is bringing him one step, one action closer to the day he died for us, the day he died for me. He went to the garden and he prayed. And he steeled himself and he received strength from the Father, and he prepared himself for this horrible ordeal, not just the physical ordeal of the cross, but the spiritual ordeal of taking on the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, on the cross. And they come and they arrest him, and they take him, and that fire is burning in the courtyard, and Peter is hanging around, and he denies Jesus three times, and at the third time, just at dawn is breaking, he hears the rooster crow, and he realizes he has denied Christ three times. And the day that Jesus dies has begun. And you go back and you go through the four Gospels and you look at it, and there's a lot of things happened on that day. The trial before the Sanhedrin comes to an end, and they take him to Pilate, and Pilate doesn't want anything to do with it, and he sends him to King Herod, who just happens to be in town that day, and they send him to Herod. Herod is entertained a little bit, and he's curious, and he asks some questions, and he doesn't want anything to do with this either, and sends him back to Pilate. And Pilate questions him, and the crowd is there, and he tries to let Jesus go, and they said, no, we want you to release Barabbas instead. We want you to crucify Jesus. And he's scourged, he's mocked, he wears a crown of thorns, and they make a sign that says, here is the King of the Jews. And they send him to be crucified. And I don't really want to read every one of these verses here, but I'm looking at Luke chapter 23, verse 26. And it tells us that the spectacle of the trial is over. And the spectacle before the Roman battalion is over. And it says, tells us that they led him away, and Jesus collapses under the weight of the cross, and they grab a guy named Simon, and he carried the cross for Jesus. And it tells us there was a multitude of people, and there were women who were mourning and lamenting, and Jesus speaks to them as he's on his way to the cross. It also tells us that there are two others, criminals, that were also in this procession. And Jesus and the soldiers and the crowd and Simon, they get to this place called, Luke says, called the skull. And they crucified him. Verse 33. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I want you to just really put yourself there. Put yourself there. I don't care where you put yourself. You can be a Roman soldier. You can be a high priest. You can be part of the crowd that's just there for the spectacle of watching someone die. You can be part of this group of women who are mourning and lamenting. You can be one of the disciples who's kind of hanging in the background, afraid of being arrested themselves, but watching from a distance. And here he is. He is, the nails are driven through his hands, and the cross has been lifted and dropped into that hole, and Jesus is hanging there in excruciating pain. And he just wants to forgive everybody. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he prays, he asks that God the Father would forgive these people. He'd forgive Pilate, he'd forgive this high priest, he'd forgive these Roman soldiers, that he would forgive this multitude who's cried out, crucify him. Because they don't know what they're doing. And what he means is they don't know who I am. They do not know I'm the Son of God. They do not know that I am worthy of all praise and honor. They do not know that I really am the King of Kings. They do not know who I am. So, Father, forgive them. The soldiers are doing their soldier thing. It says they cast lots to divide his garments. The people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Let him save himself. And the soldiers mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, if you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." And so even as the Son of God is laying down his life, for the sins of the world, praying, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," they're still mocking him. They're still laughing at him. Save yourself, as he saved the world. One of the criminals who was hanging on a cross beside him says, he railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Even this man who is dying with him joins in the mocking. But the other one, this is verse 40, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, that you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then this criminal says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And I want you to be there again. And I want you to hear Jesus offering forgiveness, praying for forgiveness. "Forgive them, they know not what they do." And then I want you to hear the words of this man, because this is every single one of us receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he asked for Jesus to remember him, to forgive him, to give him a place in his kingdom. Think about these words. Here, Jesus is hung on the cross. He is on the cross. He's wearing a crown of thorns. He is being executed. He is dying on the cross. And this man has enough faith to say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He acknowledges that Jesus is the King and says, "Remember me in your kingdom." I hope every single one of us that are listening, I hope you have come to that spot. I hope you have been at that place where you recognize that Jesus is the Savior, that he is the King of Kings, that he's died on that cross having done nothing wrong, and that you deserve the penalty. You deserve to be justice for your sins. You deserve the reward of your deeds. And Jesus has taken that penalty upon himself. I hope every one of you that is listening is trusting in King Jesus for a place in his kingdom. The Bible goes on in verse 44. It says, "It was now about the sixth hour," so about noon, and all this has already happened in this day. "And darkness came over the whole land till the ninth hour." So for 3 hours there's nothing but darkness. It says, "While the sun's light failed," and it tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." We know he said, "It is finished." And having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching all these things. The day he died for me. As we go through that scripture, it's a reminder of what was done for us. A reminder of what Jesus went through. A reminder of the truth that Jesus shed his blood. Jesus took the nails. Jesus took our sins, and he died on that cross for us. But I want us to think a little bit about what happened here, about why he died. And the first thing I just want to put out there and keep it foremost of your thoughts is, on the day that Jesus died for me, he died for the Father's glory. He died for the Father's glory. John chapter 12, Jesus is talking, and he says this, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." As we think about and remember that Jesus, the day that he died for us, remember ultimately, chiefly, primarily, above everything else that Jesus did there on that cross that day, it was for the Father's glory. And this seems so counterintuitive, you know. Death, glorifying God, pain, glorifying God, taking on sin, glorifying God. How did Jesus associate what he was doing there on the cross with the Father's glory? Well, he glorified the Father by obeying him. This was the whole purpose, it's the whole reason that the Father sent Jesus into the world. The great gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God gave his Son to earth. He gave his Son as a man, God incarnate, to you and to me and to mankind, for him to die for us. And so Jesus honored the Father and glorified the Father by obeying him, by carrying out the Father's purpose and the Father's will. He also, this action of the cross, the dying on the cross, of the day he died for us, died for the Father's glory by redeeming a people to honor and worship him. Jesus died on that cross so that the church could happen. He died on the cross so that disciples could be born. He died on that cross so that you and so that me would begin to live our lives to glorify the Father. We're in the middle of this pandemic. We're in the middle of this time where the circumstances scream for us to be self-centered, to avoid the virus, to keep from getting sick. And so people hoard toilet paper selfishly. You can't find a mask anywhere. Even our health workers cannot get them. You can't find hand sanitizer. You can't find disinfecting wipes. You can't find... We have hoarded them and bought it all. Churches are even hoarding. We tried to buy an FM transmitter to see if we could do a drive-up Easter service, and you can't buy them. There's not one in America anywhere. There's still some in China, but it will be May before we could get here. And we are exhibiting a self-centeredness that shows a failure to understand that Jesus died on the cross for the glory of the Father, and that he has redeemed us as a people to live our lives no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what it is in the world that the world is afraid of, no matter what causes anxiety in the world, no matter what causes shortages in the world, we're going to function, we're going to respond, we're going to act, we're going to live in a way that glorifies God. God. If Jesus can glorify the Father in death, as the people that he's redeemed in order to honor and worship the Father, then we have to do that. We must do that. And then he also glorified the Father on the cross by revealing the greatness of God's love. Romans 5:8, I hope it's a familiar scripture to you, says that God demonstrates his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the cross, we see the ultimate communication, the ultimate action of God's love. And we see just how great his love is for us. We see how great the love of Jesus is for the Father. And how great God's love is for you and me. So he died for the Father's glory. Of course, we know that Jesus died for us. And I want to frame it this way, that he died to set me free. I could word that differently. I could say he died to give me eternal life. He died to save me. This is the way I want to word it this morning. Jesus died to set me free. You know, right now, we don't feel free. I see people talking about, this is like being in jail. I can't leave my house. My 89-year-old mother said, we don't live in a free country anymore, when she found out she couldn't leave her assisted living facility. We don't feel like we're free right now. We feel like this COVID-19 threat has robbed us of our freedom. But hear this, as we remember the day that Jesus died for us, understand, he died to set us free. Galatians 5:1 simply says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. One of the things Jesus did was he died to free us from the power of the grave. You're afraid of a disease? You're afraid of death? We fear the pandemic? Jesus is king over disease, and he is king over the death, and he is king over the grave. Jesus set us free from the power of the grave. For Jesus to rise again, he had to die. For Jesus to be placed in the tomb, he had to die. For Jesus to come out of the tomb, he had to first die. And in dying and rising again, he showed us that even the grave cannot stop him. And if the grave cannot stop Jesus, the coronavirus cannot stop Jesus. If the grave and death cannot keep Jesus down, the coronavirus cannot keep the gospel down. If the grave cannot hold Jesus, the pandemic cannot hold the church and keep us from loving and serving and sharing the gospel. We've been freed from the power of the grave. We also understand that when Jesus died, he died to set us free from the power of sin. Sin enslaved us. Romans chapter 5 goes into great detail about how we were enslaved to sin, and that it is Jesus Christ that has freed us from that slavery. We're no longer under the power of sin. We have the freedom to live for Christ. We have the freedom to do the right thing. We have the freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit in us to overcome the sin nature of the human existence. We've been freed from the power of sin. And we've been freed from the power of fear. Today, it is so understandable the amount of uncertainty that's in the world. We fear what we don't know. We fear what could be. And we're hearing all these predictions and these models. We hear the mayor of one of our greatest cities say that he believes that half of the people of his city are going to catch this virus. We hear numbers thrown out there that literally in the millions may die. Those are words to fear. That's uncertainty to be afraid of. And I cannot stand here and tell you what's going to happen. I don't know, but God does. God does. And He is in control. And He will work all things together for the good of His kingdom, for the good of those who love Him. Paul wrote, "We have not received the spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of boldness and courage." Joshua said to be strong and courageous. Jesus died for us that we might be free from the power of fear. I also want to tell you this morning that Jesus died so that I can live. If you want the good news, you want the gospel, you want to know what makes the story of Jesus being the Son of God and Jesus dying on the cross into the good news of the gospel, it's because He died, we can live. He died so that we can live. John 10:10 says, "I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." He died so that we can live a life filled with peace and hope and joy and love, the abundant life that He is speaking about in John chapter 10. So that we can live a life without fear, but instead with peace and with hope and with joy and love. And He died so that we can live for the kingdom and live for the gospel. And so I want to encourage you today, as you think about the truth that Jesus shed His blood for you and He saved you from your sin and He has given you the gift of eternal life, that He wants you to live to your utmost today, your highest, your utmost for the highest today. He died so that you can live. You know, on that first Palm Sunday, the people proclaimed Him king, but He did not receive a crown. Later, on the day He died, He received a crown of thorns. That was the only coronation that He had. The Roman soldiers, after they whipped Him, they put a purple robe on Him. They made a fake scepter and they struck Him with it and they mocked Him as He wore that crown of thorns. Now understand this. Jesus died, He rose again, and He will be crowned the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 14:14 speaks of John seeing Jesus wearing that crown. In Revelation 19, it says that He wears many crowns. The coronation is coming. And it will not just be a small band of followers who are going to wave palm branches and lay their cloaks down and sing Hosanna to the highest. No, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King. And at that great coronation, if Christ is your Savior, you are going to be there shouting His praises. What a glorious day. Recognize Jesus as both your Savior and your Lord. Die to self. Die to fear and anxiety and doubt. And follow daily the King who died for you. Heavenly Father, How great is your Son? How great is the King of Kings? But Lord, we often say these words. We often say that Jesus is our Lord. But Father, give us the wisdom and the strength and the faith and the boldness to truly live as servants of your kingdom, as servants of Jesus, our King. Father, I lift up the church. I pray for your people, the people that the Bible says Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, died for us, the church. Lord, more than ever, the world needs to see a people of faith, of hope, of joy. Lord, may we find ways to continue to share the gospel, to live the gospel and share the gospel. And Father, I pray for those that are listening today who don't know you. They've never asked for forgiveness. They've never turned away from sin. They've never turned to follow Jesus. They've never crowned Jesus as the Lord of their life. And Lord, in the face of fear, in the face of death, in the face of a world of uncertainty, Lord, as they look for answers, may they understand that your Son, Jesus, is the answer. That he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to you, Father, except through Jesus. Father, receive our worship today. And Lord, receive our hearts today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.